It's been some Wednesday nights because of the holidays and different programs and things that we've been able to be in this Bible study on Hebrews chapter 11. But even though the year has changed, if you feel like I do, you would really appreciate an increase in your faith. Amen. How many has a little room for your faith to increase and grow? Okay. Well, it looks like about 90% of us, you got more faith than you can handle. So why don't you just turn to your neighbor and give him some of that excess faith that you have. Amen. We've been in this series for just a little bit, Hebrews chapter 11, making it into the hall of faith. And there's lots of names mentioned in that chapter, great examples of faith. And we want that kind of faith. Here is the pivotal verse, the target verse, the theme of chapter 11. If you just read this with me, and then we're going to pray before we begin tonight's Bible study. Would you read it with me? But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And I just want to remind you, I've missed this for years. I've always read this like, if you and I have faith, God looks down and claps his hands and says, oh, great, they've got faith. That just pleases me. I'm so happy they got faith. But that's not the point. The point is, unless I have faith in God, I can't do the things that please him. I won't do the things that please him. Except I have faith in God, I won't become and be what pleases him. It's faith that allows us to do what pleases God. It's faith that allows us to become what pleases God. I want that kind of faith, don't you? And tonight we're going to talk about faith for the future. Faith for the future. Would you pray with me and for me? Heavenly Father, tonight, would you, by your Holy Spirit, the same Holy Spirit that inspired your word to be written, Holy Spirit, quicken my mind and heart to speak that which would be an encouragement to your people tonight. Lord, and on this brink of 2014, God, our faith and trust in you would be increased to trust in Jesus, to trust in his word, to believe in his promises. God, help us in this time together tonight in your word. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. The scriptures tonight, we're going to go back and pick up verse 13. It says, these all died in faith. It was talking about Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. These all died in faith, not having received the promises. They never received them, but having seen them afar off and were persuaded of them, and embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. Now here's what I want you to notice. Here's one of them that died. He didn't receive the promise. He died. But look what it says of him. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith, he's dying, but he's still believing in things to come. And then here's another one that died, didn't receive. Jacob, when he was dying, he blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshiped, leaning upon the top of his staff. And then we're going to focus on Joseph tonight. By faith, Joseph, when he died, made mention of the departing of the children of Israel and gave commandment concerning his bones. He had so much faith, he knew he was dying. He knew his flesh would rot, he'd be nothing left, but he had so much certainty in the promise of God that he told them what to do with his bones. And we're going to look at that and see what he told them. I'm a Reader's Digest reader. I don't know if any of the rest of you are. And, I started to digress. I won't. But they have an article this time. I thought, this is going to be good. Reasons to be optimistic in 2014. I mean, I want to be optimistic in 2000. This is going to be good. This is going to be encouraging. This is going to just thrill me into facing the new year. And so I started reading the list, and I had to paraphrase it for this tonight, but this is what it said. This is number one. Even though horrible things have recently happened, such as the Boston Marathon massacre, floods, and scandals, the world got excited over the birth of the royal baby. How many's feeling more optimistic about 2014? Mars, this year, will make its closest approach to Earth in 6 years, and there will be a, should be, yeah, that's correct. There will be a neat lunar eclipse, and the earth will pass through the dust trail of a comet. How many's feeling even more encouraged? Okay. Troops are coming home. Well, I'll give them that. That's great. Medical marijuana has been legalized. Maybe the writer of this already got a dose. Reasons to be optimistic. Kids are connecting globally, specifically through Grand Theft Auto and World Warcraft. They said this is a good thing because people of all kids of all nations are learning to get along as they reach out and make these connections. Americans are turning from mall-centered and car-commuting living in favor of the small town with work, shopping, and entertainment within walking distance. Reasons to be optimistic in 2014. More trees will be planted this year. There's a new project. If you don't know what this is, great, but people will tire of it. Some of Congress won't be returning to Washington after the 2014 elections. Now, there's one that might help boost you a little bit. We will gain new interesting vocabulary words. That'll be okay if it's going to replace the cussing, curse words. More women will get noticed. They're talking about in careers and politics and things. Baby names will get classier. Good, we'll be able to pronounce some of them. The last of the baby boomers will turn 50. My wife is one of those. The last of the baby boomers this year. Did I say something wrong? We're talking about being optimistic. I mean, now, look, when I read through this list, I thought to myself, is this the best the world can do? You know, if you think about, the world really has no reason to be optimistic about the future. But I'll tell you who has reason to be optimistic about the future. It is those that have sold out to Christ and put their faith and their trust in Him. If your faith is in Jesus Christ, you have every reason to be optimistic and have faith in the future. Amen. You see, I know how he works. Satan would love to convince those that are in the serious struggle of life that there's nothing to look forward to. I mean, if folks here were honest tonight, there are many in this service, he's got you right there. He says to you in your life, you have nothing to look forward to. It's always going to be a struggle. It's always going to be a battle. Where you're bogged down at, it's always going to, you have no reason to look forward. Satan loves to get the people of God in that predicament where they're not looking forward. But I want you to know, faith will allow you to look forward with anticipation and promise. Hallelujah. Faith will give you hope for the future. We saw the best the world had to offer, but read the book. Put your trust in the promises of God. Faith will give you hope for the future. Faith will let you know that for you, there is an ahead. Amen. There's something ahead. There's a plan of God ahead. There's a promise of God ahead for the people of God. I couldn't download the words in my mind, but there's a song that starts talking about ahead, there's peace, and ahead, there's that. But you see, if you have faith, you can understand as a child of God, you have a future. There's something ahead for the people of God. Hallelujah. We ought to already be praising the Lord to know that when our trust is in Him, we got faith for the future. I read some scriptures to you about the patriarchs of old. The scriptures emphatic. They had faith. But they're dying. But even on their deathbed, these three, Isaac and Jacob and Joseph, though they're dying, they say, I haven't personally seen the fulfillment of God's promise, but they said, it still is going to happen. Oh, what faith. In verse 20 of that chapter, Isaac blessed Jacob concerning things to come. That's what faith will do. It'll give you confidence concerning things to come. Faith gives you a bright outlook about the future. You know, when the only thing we have is a dim and dark outlook of the future, we've been paying too close attention to two things: Satan and the news. It'll give you a dark outlook of the future. But your faith in God, amen. I'm not talking about foundationless faith. I'm talking about a faith in the promises of God. It'll give you a bright outlook for the future. Faith will give you an optimistic view of the future. Did you know that only the Bible can give us any faith in the future? Thinking of the future, I want you to think of something. Think of politics. Will that give you faith in the future? The political arena. Anyone? Okay. Well, that didn't work. Let's try the economics. Let's try the economy. Amen. Think about the economy. Does that give you faith for the future? No. Okay. What about the entertainment industry? Does that give you any faith for the future? What about the current charismatic leaders that we have throughout the world? Do they give you any faith of the future? But what happens when you begin to read this book and take in the promises of God? Don't you begin to have faith for the future? Amen. Only the Bible can do that. Only the promises of God can give us reason to believe the future will be brighter. Only faith in God can assure us one day it's going to turn out for our good. That will only happen when our faith is in God. Amen. Joseph is dying, and the scripture said, we're going back to the original story. Hebrews said that when he died, he gave commandment concerning his bones. And so here it is in the original story. Joseph said unto his brethren, I die. Now remember, and I'm not going to go into all the story, but by his brother selling him and him being betrayed by Potiphar's wife and lied about, Joseph ended up in prison, and then he ended up on the throne of Egypt. And then because of the famine, his father and brothers moved from the land of promise down into Egypt. And once there, they've settled in. Eventually, they become slaves there. And so here we are in Egypt. We're not in the land of promise. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I die. If it's ended there, that's pretty dismal. But he said, I die, and God will surely visit you. What a faith. Facing death. Knowing you're about to lose your last breath and still have a faith that says, I know God's going to visit you. And he's going to bring you out of this land unto the land which he sware to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob. And Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you and shall surely carry up my bones from hence. And so Joseph died, being 110 years old, and they embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt that would not be his final grave. He took an oath from the children of Israel that they would carry his bones one day when they left Egypt bondage, when they went to the land of the promise. He made them swear that on that day, he said, I so believe this day is going to happen. I want you to promise me on that day you leave bondage, on that day you head to the land of promise. He meant wherever I'm buried, just dig me up and take my bones with you. I'm that sure of the promise of God. I had a unique experience. I've always was involved in classic Pentecostalism, and I had a unique experience one year at Bible school. I went home, and with some kin folks, I went to one of those new charismatic churches that were just getting rolling, and it was a huge auditorium and had three sections. It was kind of fan-shaped. And that preacher got up and read this. And even though it said Joseph, he said, I'm going to preach to you this morning about the bones of Peter. And I looked, it says Joseph. He said, the bones of Peter. And the most of his sermon, he'd just go, I'm talking about the bones of Peter. I mean, it was getting creepy, and it wasn't even Halloween time. And he'd come over here, the bones of Peter. And he'd say, the bones of Peter. And finally, I think I got what he was trying to say. Joseph had so much faith that he believed even after his death, the promise of God would be fulfilled. And Peter believed in a promise too. In the last day, I'll pour out my spirit, saith the Lord, upon all flesh. And Peter may be dead, but his bones still testify that he believes the promise. And in the last day, there will be a fulfillment of the promise in the outpour of the Holy. Talk about a faith that goes beyond the grave. I mean, people are quitting over ever and anything, but here's people that are dying, and even though they're dying, they're saying, I still believe it's going to happen. I haven't seen it, but it's going to happen. Amen. Even though Joseph was dying, he was unwavering in knowing the promise of God would be fulfilled. The people of Israel would dwell in the land of promise. Amen. Make a promise to me, he said, that you will take my bones with you. Hallelujah. And it happened. I said, and it happened. There came a day. Amen. That whip had fallen for centuries. Their children had been thrown to the crocodiles for centuries. The slavery went on for, but there came a day by the mighty hand of God that they were set free. And after 400 and something years, they left the land of bondage, and they're on their way to the promised land. And what did they do? Even though all those years had passed, Moses took the bones of Joseph with him, for he had straightly sworn the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones away hence with you. Hey, can you imagine the children of Israel leaving the bondage? Somebody said, what's that coffin? Who's that? That's Joseph. Didn't he die centuries ago? Yes, but he told us this day would take place. He said it would happen because God said it would. He had that kind of faith, and he's going to the promised land with us. Amen. They got to the promised land, and under Joshua's leadership, the bones of Joseph with the children of Israel brought up out of Egypt, buried they in Shechem in a parcel of ground where Jacob bought of the sons of Hamor, the father of Shechem, for 100 pieces of silver, and it became the inheritance of the children of Joseph. Amen. Dug him up in Egypt and put him in the promised land. Oh, what a faith. Amen. Joseph, although dying by faith, said it would still happen just like God said. I know you've had setbacks. I know you've had reverses. I know things have fallen apart, and it looks like the promises of God are further from being fulfilled in your life than they ever have been. But oh, give us a faith for the future that says everything's come against me, everything's fallen apart, but I still believe the promise of God. I still believe it's going to happen. Oh, that's the kind of faith that he had. You may be saying tonight, why is it that when I've prayed and prayed for the one that I love to be healed, why did they die sick? Why is it when I've served God faithfully year after year, I'm not seeing things work out in my relationships, in my life? Why is it that the promise of God hasn't happened to me? Listen, it's not over with yet. Amen. God's still at work. His promise is still going to happen. You say, well, they died. Well, it wasn't over with for them, just like it wasn't over with for Joseph. It still took place. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad for that kind of faith? For the believer, there's always the ahead. I don't care what today's like. I don't care what yesterday was like. For the believer, there is the ahead. It's there. I want you to consider this. Without God, you have no reason to believe things will ever get better. Without God, you have no reason to believe that things will ever work out. Without God, you have no reason to believe that things will ever come to any type of resolution or completion, that there'll be a conclusion. But if your faith is in God, you have every reason to believe things will get better. If your faith is in God, you can know things are going to work out. If your faith is in God, there will be a resolution. There will be a conclusion. Hallelujah. Our faith is that there is an ahead. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. How many can believe there's ahead however bad things are going right now? Can you believe there's ahead? Amen. However awful things may look to you, there is an ahead however much it seems that Satan is winning. Amen. We know the future is ahead, and it's a bright future for the people of God. Amen. There is an ahead. You say, well, you're just talking about heaven. Well, that's some of it. There is heaven, but there's plenty of ahead before we get to heaven too. Some things will only be resolved in heaven. But some things are going to be resolved before we get to heaven. Some folks will only be healed in heaven, but some folks are going to be healed before we get to heaven. Some victories are only going to be realized in heaven, but there's going to be many victories before we get to heaven. And so it's not just heaven. There's plenty ahead, amen, before heaven. Our faith isn't that God somehow, someday, will work it out and it'll turn out okay. Our faith is God already has it worked out. I said, our faith is God already has. He knows the end from the beginning. He's got the conclusion of the whole matter worked out. Hallelujah. He's already got history written. And if you follow his will, you'll see his plan come to pass. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. These died in faith that they hadn't seen it didn't mean that they never would see it. They died in faith that they hadn't received it didn't mean they never would receive it. Let me give you one example. You can think of Moses, and we won't go into the reasons why. Led the children of Israel out of bondage to the promised land. Got right to the promised land. And God let him look from the mountain over in the promised land. But Moses never crossed Jordan. He never went into the promised land. And he was buried by the angels. And you could say, well, he never made it. He never made it. Oh, that may you may think that way. Amen. But about 1,400 years later, amen, Jesus took his Peter, James, and John disciples with him to a place called Mount Transfiguration. And guess who was standing on top of that mountain? He'd already died, but who was standing on? It was Moses. He did make it. He didn't make it in his life, but he made it. They died in faith. Amen. Haven't received, but they believed they would receive. Amen. You say, I don't have it yet. That doesn't mean you won't have it. You say, I haven't seen it yet. That doesn't mean you won't see it. You say, I haven't known it yet. That doesn't mean you won't know it. I just want to remind you, church, our faith spans two worlds. Our faith takes in time, but it goes on into eternity. Amen. Faith isn't just about the now. You see, the world focuses on the now. Eat, drink, and marry, for tomorrow we die. You may have a good time now because it's going to end in nothing. Amen. We don't focus just on the now. Amen. We focus on an eternity. Things may be bad now, but we're not just going to eat, drink, and be merry and die. Amen. Because ahead we're going to see the promises of God fulfilled. You see, Satan would love to get us locked. He would love to get us locked into the moment. He'd like to say, it's not working out for you. It'll never be any different. It'll always turn out bad. You'll never be anything. You'll never know joy. Amen. But I want you to know, he's a lying to you. It is going to work out. If there's no God, no eternity of heaven and hell, think of what that means. This is for the people of the world who don't believe this. That means the good who have suffered and died, they died suffering, they'll never know comfort and healing. See how the world has no hope? People have suffered all their lives, and you don't believe in God, you don't believe in eternity. They suffered, they died suffering, therefore they will never know comfort. It's not that way in our faith. Because you may die suffering, but comfort's coming. Hallelujah. If there's no God, if there's no eternity, that also means the evil who have done evil and die doing evil will never pay for their crimes, never pay for their evil. If there's no ahead, if there's no eternity, if there's no future, there's no God. But I'm telling you, if there is a God, the evil will pay for their evil. You believe that? Hallelujah. Oh, God, thank you for your promise. This would be an awful world indeed if there were nothing ahead beyond this world. Think about that. That's what Paul said. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we're of all men most miserable. But with God, the end is never the end. The last moment is never the last moment. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Even if it ends up bad in the here and now, we know that there is a there and a then. Amen. Every promise will be fulfilled. Every sickness will be healed. Every question will be answered. Every wrong will be righted. Every investment will pay off. I'm going to tell you, every Wednesday night you attended, it's going to pay off. Amen. Oh, I'm so glad that we can have faith in the future. Every act of faithfulness will be rewarded. So what about it? Not because I preached it, but because it's the Word of God. Does that give you more reason of optimism in 2014 than Reader's Digest? Put your trust in God. And you have an ahead in your life. A future God designed for you. God promised to you. Would you come, music? I don't know how many of you thought about this or took note of this. But beginning with Brother Brim at Pastor's Appreciation, and I think even before that and some after that, there were several in a row guest speakers that had a message for us. And, you know, I addressed it somewhat in the last several years. Union Pentecostal Church families and family have had some very hard knocks. But I don't know if any of the rest of you caught it. Brother Brim made it clear, and several of the guest speakers, he said, I believe the best is ahead for Union Pentecostal Church. That's not empty hype. That's the kind of faith we can have in our God. Several of you as individual families, you've had setbacks and reverses and difficult times, but if you put your faith in God without presumption, you can say, the future is bright for me, my family, and my life. You don't put your trust in God, you can't have that kind of optimism. It is baseless. It is hype. But if your trust is in God, if you're sold out to Him, surrendered to His will, believing in Him, you can have the assurance that the best is yet to come. You say, what if I take my last breath tonight? It didn't change a thing. The best was yet to come. Hallelujah. Could you stand tonight? Oh, Father, thank you for your people. Lord, increase our faith to put our trust unwaveringly in you, believing in you, trusting in you. Lord, Satan would truly like us to believe that we're locked into this moment, locked into this trial, locked into this difficulty, locked into this darkness. But, oh God, if our faith is in you, we can know there is an ahead for us. There is a future. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I wonder how many unashamedly would come to this altar tonight right now and say, I'd really like my faith increased in God about that faith for the future. Would you just like to begin to come? I'd really like to have my faith increased in God for that future. My future. Hallelujah. The church future. Hallelujah. Amen. As you come, pray His promises. Pray His promises. Believe His promises. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. I'm dying. Make sure. I know you're going to leave this land of bondage. And when you do, you take my bones with you. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord, increase our faith and our trust in you. Help me to believe, not listen to the voice of Satan, but help me to listen to the voice of God. I'm His child. His promises are for me. I can trust in Him. I can trust Him. Let's seek Him tonight in the altars, church. Oh, let's seek Him in the altars. Let's reach out to Him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I put my trust in you, Lord. I refuse to listen to the enemy of my soul. Oh, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. I'm going to believe Him. I'm going to surrender to myself and my life, to His will, to His plan. I will trust in the Lord. I'm not trusting in myself. I'm not trusting in my own ability. I'm not trusting in my own resources. I am trusting in the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.